Happy Mother's Day. Come on, you can clap. Happy Mother's Day. All right. What I would like is I'd like all the children to come up and grab a flower and take it to one of the ladies. Ladies, if you don't mind standing up, there's enough for all the ladies. So all the ladies stand up, whether you're a mother or not, or just take a flower and go ahead and hand them all out. And while they're doing that, last night, I'll tell you what, Oasis was awesome. If you missed it, you missed it. You can go online, go to yourcbcfamily.org, and you can get all the messages down. They're all downloaded from Oasis and also on Sunday morning. So anytime you feel like picking up a message from Saturday night, it was awesome last night. I'll tell you what, you spoke right to my heart. And sometimes, now I know how all of you guys feel when you get preached at. Yeah. Did he design this for me? Is he preaching this to me? And evidently he was. Ron, did you make it? That message hit my heart. And I'll tell you what, it was an awesome message. And sometimes... Yeah, he can get stubborn and not want to listen, but when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, you got to move. Amen. All right. Well, while the kids are still going around, as you get a flower, you can go ahead and sit down. And there are plenty of them here, so make sure you get one. Turn your Bibles to Joel today. It's Daniel, Hosea, and Joel. Minor prophets. We're going to deviate just a little bit today, since it's Mother's Day. All right. And after you're all done, kids, and everybody gets a flower, you can go ahead and be dismissed. All right? So you can be dismissed to your classrooms. I know that we're in a series right now, but I was thinking recently a lot about my mom. My mom passed away 4 years ago, and actually, after I preached the message Sunday morning, I went to the funeral home. And so I've been thinking about her every Mother's Day. I always do that, even when she was alive, but now especially thinking about her. And so I thought that I would share some of the things that my mother taught me and some mothers. And actually, this is a list that I get every year. They change it up and everything. But so this isn't things that my mother taught me, but some of the things that maybe your mothers have taught you. It says, my mother taught me to appreciate a job well done. It says, if you're going to kill each other, do it outside. I just finished cleaning. My mother taught me religion. You better pray that will come out of the carpet. My mother taught me logic. Because I said so, that's why. She taught me how to meet a challenge. Answer me when I talk to you, and don't talk back. That's a challenge. My mother taught me foresight. Make sure you wear clean underwear in case you're in an accident. I'll tell you what, that is something that my mother always told me. I could actually say. anyway, my mother taught me irony. Keep laughing and I'll give you something to cry about. Any of you ever said that? Osmosis, the science of osmosis. Shut your mouth and eat your supper. She taught me about contortionism. Will you look at the dirt on the back of your neck? My mother taught me about behavior modification. Stop acting like your father. My mother taught me about envy. There are millions of less fortunate children in this world who don't have a wonderful mother like you do. She taught me about justice. One day you'll have kids, and I hope they turn out just like you. You know what? I was told that so much, when I was growing up. You know, Joey, you're going to have a kid just like you someday, and you'll regret it. And I did. Not just like me. But anyway, and then I swore not to do that. I never told Lee that that would happen to her, although Lee was a very good child. But before we continue on the series of Joseph, there is another step in our Christian walk that I want you to take, okay? It's the next step. We're talking about next steps, and this is the next step. The next step is the next generation, okay? It's the next generation. I want to talk to the moms, but specifically I want to talk to everybody in here, all the adults, all the children pretty much left except for the professor and a couple of other kids around here. But I want you to leave this legacy. God makes it very clear in Joel chapter 1, verse 3. It says, tell your children of it, and let your children tell their children, and their children another generation. Let's pray. Dear gracious God, we just thank you so much, Lord, for who you are. Thank you for the privilege of coming here this morning and to worship you, Father. Thank you for the many mothers that are here this morning. God, we just thank you so much for them. Mothers that are here and not yet mothers. We thank you for them, Lord. God, we just ask that you would just bless us by the hearing of your word this morning, and may we just move forward and take that next step. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, God makes it very clear in Joel that we are to pass on the things God has taught us to the next generation. We've got to do that, family. We've got to take what we've learned, our wisdom, our knowledge, our experiences, and give them to the next generation. Family, until you plug yourself into God's plan for caring for others, including the next generation, you are missing out on the greatest joys of your life. It's the reason why we were created. You know what? If we don't pass on to the next generation, all the kids that are in here, all the family members, all the neighbors that we have, all the people with CBC, all those little ones, if we don't pass that on to the next generation, guess what's going to happen? There's going to be a for sale sign on the church out here. Right? Do you agree with that? Can I get an amen from the amen corner? Where's my amen corner this morning? Come on, I need something. You guys got to feed me. Feed me this morning. But we do. We have to make sure that we are around, that when all these little ones are around us, we got to make sure that we take them by the ear or by the collar or by the shirt, and we got to raise them and teach them the things that God has taught us, whether they're neighborhoods or families or whatever. God wants you to share your knowledge, wisdom, and experience. I still carry some of the things that I was taught by my mom and by my parents. There are many things that you can teach them, and I'm not just talking about, you can teach them physical things. You can teach them how to solder. My dad taught me how to solder. He taught me how to repair cars and to do some wiring and stuff like that. And I can remember my neighbor, Albert. He used to take me and put his arm around me and talk to me about life. And it's just those things that I still remember and still carry with me. But we need to do that. The Bible speaks about adults that become unavailable to the next generation. The Bible speaks of that in Job 14, 21 to 22. He says, his sons come to honor, and he knoweth it not. And they are brought low, but he perceives it not. But his flesh upon him shall have pain, and his soul within him shall mourn. Now, let me tell you this. Let me say it another way. They are selfish. That's what it's saying. He's not worried about the children coming to do whatever. He's selfish, and that's what he's talking about. He says, a lot of adults are walking around utter selfishness. They see nothing but their own problems, and they are so self-centered and self-focused that they spend most of their lives feeling sorry for themselves. Can I get an amen on that one? And I am included on that. Because there's a lot of times I feel sorry for myself, and I sit there and I just want to pout. I just want to sit here and pout because you said something to me that I didn't like, so I'm just going to sit here and I'm going to be selfish, and you kids, I don't care what. No, we can't do that. But sometimes I didn't get a flower, but I'm going to pout about that. Guys, if you want a flower before you leave, there's plenty of them here. You can have one too. We got to be careful, though. We got to quit focusing on ourselves. Because you know what? When you focus on yourselves, you leave a very miserable life. because you can be miserable, right? I can be miserable. I've been miserable for the last 2 days. I've been miserable for the last 3 months. Amen? Can I get an amen from you there, girl? I'll tell you what, it's affecting my entire life. We're putting this kitchen in. I thought it was going to be a happy time. I thought that in 2 weeks we were going to have a new kitchen and a new floor and everything was going to be fine. But guess what? It's 3 months now and it's a good thing we're not building a house. Amen? This is just one room in the house. But I'll tell you what, let me tell you what happened the other day, because this isn't part of the message, but it is basically, all right? We left here, we spent all day at church on Tuesday, all right? Tuesday, all day, 6 o'clock at night, Sue and I are heading back, and she goes in ahead of me, she gets in there, and all of a sudden I heard her scream, and I think, is there a mouse in the house or something like that? Because it's the same scream, whether it's a spider about that big, or if it's a monster inside the house. It's the same scream. So I hear it, so I kind of jog in there, and the whole kitchen's flooded. We just put a hardwood floor in. Now, when water gets on hardwood floor, that's not a good thing. So, these guys come in, because I call the insurance company, they come in, and they've got these great big giant machines that sounds like the Hatfield power plant running. And they're all over the house, and they want to create humidity to lift it all out. So the house is about 90 degrees and about 100% humidity. If it were any more humid, it'd be raining inside the house. Why am I saying this? Oh, because I'm miserable. Thank you. Bringing me back to the point. All right. But anyway, it's a mess at home, and they got to tear up everything now that we've just put down and put new back in. And it's just going to be another 3 months before we even see a semblance of a kitchen again. So pray for Sue and I, okay? Do that for me, because I am miserable this morning, at least the last couple of days. But you know what? Last night, really, listening to Oasis brought me back to really thinking about me. I mean, thinking about him instead of me. Quick, get out of that selfish mode. Because this morning I came here and Jim says, Joe, your countenance is down. He says, yeah, if you weren't my friend, I'd probably kill you right now just so I could feel better. Anyway, we've got to make sure that we're not miserable because we're so self-centered. We have to make sure that we are that positive influence for that next generation. What is so awesome is that God's word just doesn't tell us what to do about not being self-centered. And he says in Joel, he says to teach the next generation and allow them to teach the next generation and then the next generation and let it keep going. He doesn't only tell us what to do, but he also communicates spiritually the spiritual truths on how to do it too. The next generation needs wisdom and knowledge. Proverbs 16:16 says, how much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather than to chosen than silver? Now, the book of Proverbs was written for the next generation, right? It really is. It's written for the next generation. Wisest man who ever lived writes Proverbs. Solomon. He has a lot of money. He knows what he's doing. It says that it is better to have knowledge and wisdom than money. It really is. It's better to be spiritually smart than to have material possessions. We must settle this in our minds and then pass that on to the next generation. Do you hear me? Do you hear what I'm saying? Okay. We've got to first settle it in our minds. I've got to settle it in my mind. I've got to say, you know what? It really doesn't matter if I don't live. I'm thinking about this, okay? I have clean running water that actually came out onto my floor and into the kitchen, all right? Then all of a sudden, God says, do you remember when you were in Haiti and they have raw sewage running down their streets? And you can't even drink the water there because you'll get sick because they have parasites in it. Do you remember that, Joe? Do you remember the kitchen that you went into the orphanage that had a dirt floor? That he had a pot with wood underneath of it? And then all of a sudden, I got a wake-up call. Joe, come on, man. What are you doing? Are you worried about possessions or are you worried about the kingdom of God? A reality check. A real good reality check that I have right now. Let me tell you a little story. There was a traveler, a woman. It was a mom. Now, there was this woman. She's traveling. She's in the airport. She's got a delayed flight. She goes over and she buys some cookies. And she's waiting for her flight, so she gets the bag of cookies, she grabs a newspaper. So while she's reading the newspaper in the airport, she's leisurely, and all of a sudden she hears a little rustling in the bag of cookies. And there's this guy sitting next to her, picking up a cookie, eating it. And she's getting mad. She looks at him and she's thinking, how dare this guy eat my cookies? So she just grabs a cookie and she eats it. And then he grabs another cookie and they go back and forth until there's one cookie left in the bag. He goes, the man's next to her, he goes, now by this time, she is just red-faced, ready to kill somebody. She cracks the cookie. He cracks the cookie in half, slides a piece of the cookie over to her, and he eats the half a cookie, gets up when he's done, walks out. The flight then is called. She gets up. She gets in her bag because her ticket's in there. While she's looking for her bag, she sees the bag of cookies she purchased. See, there's no need to get upset, right? Really. You know, and the question is, you got to come to grips with whose cookies are they? Really. Really. Whose cookies are they? That will change everything. Here's where we get a little confused. From the age of 2 years up and older, the question is, whose cookies are they? But the Bible is very clear to whom the cookies belong. Psalm 24:1 says, the earth is whose? The Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. So who does it belong to? Whose cookies are they? They're God's. They're God's. Family, the earth belongs to the Lord and everything that's in it. The answer to whose cookies they are, it belongs to God. God's cookies, God's house, God's clothes, God's kitchen, God's car, God's body, this body, it's all his stuff. He's got a whole lot of stuff. Amen? He's got a whole lot of stuff. It all belongs to him. When we help the next generation settle this issue, and some of us still need to come to grips with that issue too, when we help the next generation settle this issue, things become a whole lot less complicated and less stressful. Don't you agree? I feel less stressful already. I really do. I feel good now. It's a weight lifted off my shoulders because I'm not going to worry about that kitchen. I'm going to let Sue worry about it. Happy Mother's Day. It's going to be a whole lot less stressful. And how do we get the next generation to see that knowledge and wisdom is better than silver and gold and money? We teach them at a very young age that they are to be good stewards of the things that God has given us. That's just something that we can all take and really take a grasp of. The stuff that he has given us, and we need to be good stewards of that. Really good stewards. And teach our children to be good stewards. And we need to be good stewards, not just of the monetary stuff that he has given us, but also of those children, that next generation that he has given us. We need to be good stewards of them and how we teach them and grow them. We teach them not to worry as much as whose cookies they are, as gaining spiritual knowledge. Family, the next generation needs to know how to live more than they need to know how to make a living. The next generation needs character as a moral compass. Ephesians 4, chapter 4, 23, 24, it says, "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." It's all about character. And we talked about character, and we've been talking about character, and Joseph's character, and what an awesome man he is. And we're going to continue that next week. We're going to see what happens. He's still in prison, and we're going to take a look at his character while he's in prison and things that aren't going so well. But character is a word that describes morals, ethics, and integrity. Integrity. Yesterday I was watching a golf game, and as I was watching it, I see the inside of my eyelids. But I also hear, but they're talking about integrity. Integrity. How important integrity is for that next generation, especially in tough situations. Two ways to pass on character to the next generation. Protect their minds from evil thoughts. Protect their minds from evil thoughts. Proverbs 15:14 says, "The heart of man that hath understanding seeks knowledge, but the mouth of fools feed on foolishness." In other words, garbage in, garbage out. You teach kids garbage, they're going to bring out garbage, okay? So it's very important that we teach our children, moms teach our children, garbage in, garbage out. That's what's going to happen. You ever hear a little kid cuss? Guess where it came from? Came from us. Who taught them? They didn't just all of a sudden be born and learn some profanity, have they? No, we taught them that. They heard us say that. We need to walk with character. Because guess what? Whether you know it or not, if you swear in front of your children, guess what's going to happen? At some point, they're going to report it, they're going to repeat it whether you like it or not, because what's in the heart comes out the mouth. And what's in your heart comes out your mouth, right? So if you cuss and you swear, what's in your heart comes out your mouth. You can't help it. Garbage in, garbage out. You just can't help it. It's difficult. So if we want the next generation to make the right choices, we must feed them the truth and not the trash. Number two, don't protect them from difficulties. This is a good one. Romans 5, 3 and 4 says, "And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope." Age has nothing to do with maturity, does it? Some 17-year-olds are more mature than some 40-year-olds that I know. Sometimes because they haven't taken on responsibility. They can't learn responsibility if we protect them from difficulties. We've got to make sure that they have and they are put into difficulties. You know what? Don't come to me and say, "Well, I don't want my children here because of this." You know what? They need that. They need to be in situations where it's a little more difficult, where the heat is on, right? They have to have that. Because if you protect them from the difficulties, then when they get out on their own and in the world, they don't know how to deal with the difficulties in life. My parents didn't shelter me from anything. They said, all they would tell me, "Joey, don't hang around with these bad kids." Well, why? What does bad kids mean? Who are bad kids? Well, don't hang around with them. Okay. You know what? We gotta make sure it's my choice as a child. My mother and dad, they tried to raise me right, but I did what I wanted to do. They tried to protect me from difficult times, but I did what I wanted to do. And I got myself into a little bit of trouble. Not a lot, but a little bit. But guess what? As I grew up, and came into a corporate world, I knew what difficulty was, and I knew what not to get into and what to get into. It taught me what was right and what was wrong. Sometimes we shelter our kids and say, "I'm going to put you in this bubble until you're 18 years old, and then I'm going to burst the bubble, and now you're on your own." That's not how to learn. You got to make sure that we don't protect them too much from the difficult times. Sometimes because they haven't taken on responsibility, they can't learn responsibility if they're protected from it, from the difficult times. And the key is balance. So I'm not telling you just go ahead and throw them out there and say, hey, go ahead, kids, you do whatever you want. But what I'm talking about is give them a little balance. Quit sheltering them. The next generation needs conviction and values to live. 1 Corinthians 16:13 says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit ye, you like men. Be strong. First, you gain wisdom and knowledge, then comes character, then conviction. Character is being right. Conviction is having what it takes to do right. Okay? You got that? Character is knowing what is right, and conviction is doing the right thing. I was convicted last night, so I went and I apologized to my wife. That's doing right. Oh, I knew what was the right thing to do, but until I was convicted to do it, I wasn't going to do it. I was going to sit on my hands. It's conviction is doing the right thing. A great biblical illustration is the life of Daniel. He's in the lion's den. And why is he in the lion's den? Because he wouldn't worship the idols. That was conviction. But his determination to live by conviction began much earlier in life. Daniel 1, verse 8 says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Daniel was a next generation Jew. Okay? He was the next generation. He was the next generation Jew. He didn't want to defile himself. He was taught well. And when he was in a strange land with different people, he made up his mind to stay true to his God. What happens is God promotes him and others respect him because he was a person of conviction. He became the king's advisor. Family, conviction produces passion, and passionate people change the world. If it's the person who lives a wishy-washy life and does what is easy and convenient, it is the person who is not afraid to live by their convictions. If our children don't have convictions, then they will live by this world's values and cultures. They'll live by pleasure. I want to feel good. They'll live by possessions. I want to have a lot of stuff. They'll live by prestige. I want other people to envy me. And they'll live by power. I want to be in control. How do we pass on conviction to the next generation? They are more caught than taught. You got that? Conviction is more caught than taught. Titus 2:6-7 says, young men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded in all things, showing thyselves a pattern of good works, a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity. Our behavior has an enormous influence on the behavior of our next generation. If we want to direct the behavior of the future generations, we must look at our behavior. So family, let's close by doing just that. Let's look at our own behavior. How are we doing in the areas that it takes to leave a legacy for the next generation? Not just moms, but all adults. Ask yourself, am I sharing wisdom and knowledge with the next generation? Am I teaching character to the next generation? Am I modeling conviction for the next generation? This church plays a huge part in bringing up the next generation. And it starts right here with the pastor. Let me be the first to recommit myself to the next generation. And I ask you to join me in rededicating yourselves or dedicating yourselves to leaving a legacy to the next generation. Why don't you all stand? And I want you to, if you want to reconnect and rededicate your lives to the next generation, I want you to come down and I want you to kneel with me. I'm committed. Your pastor is committed to the next generation. I love these children. I love these teenagers. These little ones that we're bringing in and the ones that we have already here. I'm committed to you, Jonathan. I am. I'm committed to raising you properly and to be a man of conviction. The same thing with all you other children out here. I'm committed. The babies that are here, I'm committed. That's your pastor speaking. I am committed. I will drive the bus if I need to. I will go get the children if I need to. I will love your children and I will teach your children. Will you come with me and make that same commitment to God Almighty? That you will be that man or woman of conviction and raise this next generation. Take that next step. Again, for the privilege of giving us these children, Lord, this next generation, God, thank you for the privilege of allowing us to work with them so that your church can continue, God. Just may Calvary Baptist Church never look back and say, I should have. We already know the right thing to do. Convict us to do it. God, we love you. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. God bless the mothers here this morning, Father, in a very special way. Show them today that you love them in a very tangible way. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.